Now we're on. We're on. We got it all
practiced. Stars at night are big and bright, even in the heart of Texas.
And now context free, that's going to make even less sense. And I'm not going to go back and explain it. Also, please, I don't want people mobbing that lake. I don't need them.
We were just really actually talking about Texas playing at Michigan the second weekend of the season is actually what we were talking about.
Good cover. Great way to cover it. For those of you who don't know, which is everybody, because we just slid in, we're going to talk about the schedule. And we were just talking to Chris.
That's right. Is
schedule release day his favorite day? And you said what?
Yes, it is. I mean, in the offseason, it doesn't get any better than schedule release day. Plus, just everybody's schedule, like the Big 12 schedule came out last week. I just love looking at what everybody's going to be doing. And especially now, like who's traveling where and how far are they traveling? It's going to play, I think, a major impact in college football next year. So
you get like,
deep and I'm so, it. Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we don't travel to Cal and Stanford back to back weeks, right?
Absolutely.
Wait. That's what I thought. Okay. That's why I was saying you get deep down into it. Cause I looked at it for like 3 seconds and I swear I didn't think we traveled in back to back weeks. What I thought was even dumber than that. I thought we traveled to Cal, then came back, played a game on the East Coast, and then traveled back to Stanford. And I was like, I got mad there for a good 15 minutes. And then forgot.
And then
all
you
that.
Start, and then you're like, and then we got to go to BC and we got to go to Miami. You're like, ACC just needs to end.
It does.
But now you're okay. Yeah. You got real salty. And then, the whole time I'm like, dude, that's not the schedule. But
well,
why we're here.
Other than Cal, a lot of that is the schedule. Other than
it is. That is.
Yeah. Stanford does travel to Syracuse and then Clemson the next week. You think they'll just stay East Coast? Like they're not.
They got to stay. Yeah, they got to stay.
This is why I got all like upset before. Like I would have been fine if we saw Cal. Like first of all, obviously Cal's not on our schedule. Not all of us knew that. Some of us thought that it was. And, but if we had to play those two in the same year, it makes sense that you play Cal, Stanford back-to-back weeks. You just stay out there.
Right.
But we don't. So I don't know why you guys are making me talk about this. It's ridiculous.
It was great, man. It was good. And I mean, I do think we travel. So we travel. I saw a stat. We travel more than we've ever traveled as a Virginia Tech football like team. And Scott, you mentioned something that's really interesting because we traveled with the team, obviously, when we were birds, and they can't fly out of Roanoke if they're going to some of these places, right? Like, that's pretty – that adds a lot of time. Like, what games was it that they had to go to Greensboro?
Back in the day when we played Texas A&M, like, we took a mm-hmm. bus from Blacksburg to Greensboro before getting on a plane. And that, like – I mean, it's not like Roanoke is close. So Greensboro, I mean, that's another 2 hours of your day. But Chris, you said it's not like that anymore, right? You could they fly.
Well, it wasn't when I was there. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like going to California. I mean, that might be different. I don't know.
Big plane.
I don't think there's flights going from Roanoke to California. Like, I doubt there's a big enough plane for that.
You know how that runway like goes that's downhill and then back uphill? Like maybe that's for the bigger planes to give a head start on their way back up.
Yeah, we did take a plane to Syracuse. I remember. One of my favorite memories was we were because it, you know, that plane is heavy. Like when you think about all those guys that are on that plane and we're like on it feels like we're trying to take off for a long time. Like we're just like on the runway, just like it's not going to happen. And the guys in the back are yelling, turn your cell phones off. Everybody turn your cell phones off. Because that was back when they thought the cell phones was the. Like the big deal. You got to turn yourself enough or it's not going to, like, the plane's going to blow up. So,
the team flew out of Roanoke to Nebraska. I don't guess that's as far. Is it farther than Miami? I guess it's probably about the same.
It's as far as A&M, right?
That isn't really.
I think back then it was at where the runway smaller in Roanoke or something, like shorter. And now they're, I don't know. What do we know?
Yeah.
I think
what do we know? Yeah.
It does hurt though. I mean, if they do have to drive to like Greensboro or Charlotte or something to get on a plane, I mean, it's not like that's true for Stanford flying to the East Coast. They're flying
right,
you know,
right out. Here's a story I've never told on here and has nothing to do with the schedule, so I'll tell it now.
No, let's do it.
One of the trips, only several, I got to fly in the private plane with Beamer out early to a game, and Nebraska was one of those. But Jim Weaver was also on a plane, so we flew out of Blacksburg. And we're sitting there. It's me, Jim Weaver, Frank Beamer, and they were the guy, like the SI guy at the time. And we're sitting there, and we were like, "Hey, can you buckle me up?" So I had to lean over and buckle Jim Weaver up on this plane. So I'm like leaning over him with like right at his waist, like trying to buckle his seatbelt, and it wouldn't buckle. Like,
why? Man. I still don't understand the reason.
Of why? Of what?
Why you were doing that?
Why? Yeah. Why did he need this help?
Because he asked.
What are you going to say? No.
It just feels like at the time Jim Weaver was like he had grown up in the generation where in like the 60s when you flew you were smoking and like the flight attendant actually did buckle your seatbelt for you and like flirted with you the whole time.
He was just so like at the time very like couldn't use his hands well and stuff. Not like we didn't have airline stewardess on a four seat private plane.
They're called flight attendants. Yeah,
there we go. We didn't have any of those. None of those.
We'll cut this whole segment.
Please,
this is not good. This is just going. Let's get back to the schedule.
Nashville and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, what are we excited about? Give us the rundown. What are we excited about? And how many wins? 12? 14? Huh?
14?
I don't even know how many games you play if you make it all the way to the championship game and win it. I don't know. What's a regular season anymore? Is it regular season?
It would be. So that's a good question, because if you play, all right. So let's say you play your 12 plus your championship game in your conference. That's 13. Let's say you don't make the first four.
Which your ACC,
year,
so you're not going to.
Because your ACC, yeah. Amen. So all right. So then you're playing that game. So that's 14. Then 15, 16 games. 16 games. Yeah.
So 16. So we're going to win 16. Games.
16-0, baby. Chris, what are you excited about on the schedule when you look at it?
Honestly, my first look at it, I was like, this is actually more difficult than I thought it was gonna be. Like, I don't know, I feel like I'd get the schedule and be like, oh, this is 10 wins for sure, and I don't say that in my mind looking at it. I don't know, the travel, like we were talking about with travel, like travel to Miami then to Stanford, I don't really like that back-to-back. There's nothing like I love, you know, all these teams I feel like don't have like a hard team before us. Those are some things that you look for. Like Miami's got easy cake before us. So does Rutgers. I mean, like those are not going to be cakewalks, I don't think, for us. So it'll be, I don't know. There's nothing easy that I see. But I know, Tom, you're always looking at that last game of the year as the most exciting one.
That's the one he's already
game of the year. It's the game of the year. Well, yeah, we play UVA right before. We play Duke at Duke the week before UVA, and UVA plays SMU. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They travel. Oh, no, they have SMU at home, and then they come to Blacksburg. So, you know, it's kind of a wash. I mean, I feel like Duke next year is going to be in total rebuilding mold. I think that's the thing I got excited about. Just looking at it again, it kind of reminded me, like, I mean, there's a lot of rebuilding going on in the schedule. You know, like Duke's like all in rebuild mode. Syracuse is going to be a dumpster fire. Now Boston College, I guess, right? Like Boston College's head coach left, so there could be a lot on this schedule that's rebuild that doesn't scare me really. You know, I think and the biggest games, Clemson and Miami, fortunately, neither of those teams have a bye before they play us. So that's good news. Now, regardless of who they play, like Miami plays South Florida, you know, before they come to Blacksburg or before they have us. And then Clemson plays Louisville, which actually that's a big game, you know, that goes open Louisville than us. So I think it's good. It's not like a great, easy schedule. We've gotten those in the past, you know, I can't remember what year specifically, but like you get them and sometimes you're like, yeah, we can get 8 games out of this easy. This is still, you know, still some challenges in there, but I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. What do you think, Scott?
Scott, what do you think?
I mean, like you talked about BC's coach just left to become a defensive coordinator in the NFL. Well, that sounds like a lot of turnover, except that we could beat Jeff Hafley all the time. Like he was not good at coaching against Virginia Tech. And so I'd actually would have loved to see him stay, you know, like Mike Elko leaving has got to be bad for Duke, but like, it seems like they hired a legitimate coach in Manny Diaz, like, right. Manny Diaz. That's what I'm saying. You know, like the, yeah. I mean, John or Chris, we talked about like Vanderbilt's not a cakewalk in Nashville. It's not like we're going to just, you can't just pencil that in for a win. But I will say, last year, we didn't have our now starting quarterback taking number one reps in the preseason and like this and the spring. That's and right. The fall. Like, so, you know, but you see the kind of arc of it and how well they were playing by the end, by the bowl game. And if they stay on that, I mean, the offense is going to be dangerous. It's going to be really dangerous. I mean, we added an offensive lineman to kind of bolster that offensive line. They're not going to be like that much better, but they're going to be older and stronger, you would hope. So I'm excited. We got our defense back. We filled in a defensive lineman or two. We filled in a middle linebacker. I mean, yes, the schedule's harder, but I guess my point is we should be on paper better than we were last year. We should be a better team this year. And what I just want to see is, I'm not really expecting 16-0. I mean, nah, I haven't bet on us making the national championship game like some people on this call have. But
I love it.
It's only because I don't know how. But I think we're going to – I think with a tougher schedule, if we could just get to 8 wins, you know, if we could get like – just keep momentum going, go from 3 to 7 to 8 or 9, like,
yeah,
and that'd be really incredible.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I totally agree.
Momentum for recruiting.
Yeah. Look at our schedule. It's just so nice that we have kept everybody, like you were saying. I mean, it's just so nice going into the whole off season and heading into the fall, like with our whole offense back. Yeah. And it's, you're exactly right. Like, he didn't get to have an offseason, you know, as a starter, and he will get that now. So it's just so nice for Jones.
Yeah. And he didn't look great against Marshall, but then he started to look legit good by the end of the year. Even by the middle of the year, he looked legit good, dangerous. And man, he didn't have his number one receiver the entire year, right? He didn't have his number one tight end the entire year.
Right.
He still did
Allie,
that.
Yeah.
So.
And Allie's big, man. I mean, I think we discount, like, what Jennings could bring coming back, like, that kid is a big guy. I mean, imagine what he's done now in the weight room over this last year with Virginia Tech weightlifting and stuff. Like, he's going to come out of the gate strong. I'm excited about him. And yeah, and Felton, you know, Nick Gallo's coming back. So it's great.
Felton can catch now. So that's exciting.
Felton all of a sudden could catch like at the end of last season. I don't know how that happened.
A little case of the yips in the beginning, but
it was great. Yeah.
He got that one deep bomb, like caught it with his fingertips and it was all uphill from there.
Syracuse.
And it was like,
Syracuse. We were there. Yeah. Chris, you know way more about it than we do, but like, what, as far as the ACC returning quarterbacks, you got to think Drones is top 2 or 3 of those, right? Like, is there anyone else that's coming back? That's like, I mean, Jordan Travis is gone, Drake May is gone. Like who else is out there that's even close to him?
I mean, obviously you've got Clemson's coming back. You've got,
come on, Klubnik.
Klubnik's back. Syracuse just got Ohio State's starting quarterback, Kyle McCord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Miami just got Cam Ward, who was the quarterback at Washington State, who was like the big transfer portal deal 2 years ago, but they got him now. Mm-hmm. Georgia Tech still has Haynes from Texas A&M, who transferred in there last year, so continuity there. Duke's obviously new QB. UVA's got that freshman they had last year coming back. But yeah,
ain't that his, but you got to put Drones right up there, right? I mean, he's top three, I would think, in that list.
Out of who we play, for sure. Yeah. I mean, definitely the ACC. I mean, how can you not make Drones one of the top three in the ACC? I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Kyle McCord comes over and just like balls out in the ACC out. Because he's been in the, you know, Big Ten, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see that happen simply because if he was that good, Ohio State would want to keep him, or that like,
right,
yeah,
you know, or that LSU would grab him, not Syracuse.
Joe Burrow.
I know he has a connection to the coach, though. So I mean, maybe it's straight line. Like, this is my coach. This is where I'm going.
Yeah,
but
it's a great segue into the one quarterback we do need to worry about, and that's Vanderbilt's Diego Pavia. Diego.
Yeah, John, did you watch the conference Western midnight?
I missed the Sun Belt Championship, but Chris, tell us why should we be afraid of this dude?
Because number one, he runs around like crazy. He's not crazy with the ball. He understands football. He knows what he's doing. He's uber confident. That's just proven the fact that he walks into like Auburn last year and beats them, puts up 31 on them. Like he's a proven guy. Like he's not, we're not going to Vanderbilt and playing and, you know, some no name quarterback. Like he actually is a proven guy. And I wouldn't be worried about him, honestly, if this didn't happen, but Jerry Kill leaves and goes with him and they take their offensive coordinator with them too. Tim Beck, I think is his name, or Burke. So they get offense coordinator, Jerry Kill, and him. So it's not like he's learning a new system or anything like that transferring to Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
So
is Kill the guy that helped us out like during
so he's one
like
of
Fuente
the
years?
We treated, you know, obviously Fuente didn't treat him well. So there you go. He's already got some beef with Virginia Tech.
He had one half of the season with us.
Yeah.
And made us look like a well-coached team for half a season. Prior to him getting here, we looked terrible. As soon as he left, we looked terrible again.
Oh, he's a great coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, New Mexico State's been absolutely horrendous before he got there. So.
Yeah. I was just looking at some videos. This guy reminds me, this quarterback from Vanderbilt now, reminds me a little bit of the TCU quarterback 2 years ago. Remember him? I can't remember his name, but the kid was just like a baller. Like you just knew he was going to be able to take over the game. So.
He doesn't make mistakes. I mean, a lot of kids like that are like, yeah, but he throws 20 interceptions in a season. He really didn't. I think he had almost 30 touchdowns and like right around 10 interceptions or something. So he's not.
Yeah, and he played Auburn. He played some good teams. So, yeah, we'll see.
Hot take. We'll see. The SEC was terrible last year. Hot take. I mean, I know we don't get that many hot takes in early February about the college football season, but like.
It's not a bad thing.
Auburn was bad. And then
they were
like,
yeah.
not well coached at all. And we're clearly looking ahead to Alabama in that game. I'm not sleeping on this guy. Like, cause I, you know, I take what you're saying at face value and he probably, if he's mobile, he will run all over us. And it's going to put pressure on our returning defensive backs who are all world to stay in coverage, which will be fun to see, you know? And speaking of fun to see, we're going, right? We're going. Vanderbilt, it's like
$3 for us.
And
you got to. Yeah, you got to.
I've never been to Nashville. I gotta go check it out. Missed the Music City Bowl
it's
in 98.
It's gonna be a great time.
All right.
It's gonna be a great time.
So do you all think, cause don't look, is Duke's stadium bigger or smaller than Vanderbilt's?
Smaller. It's gotta be smaller.
The line of questioning leads me to believe that Duke's stadium is significantly larger than Vanderbilt Stadium. Just the fact that it even got brought up.
Vanderbilt just redid their stadium. They just redid it.
So did Duke.
Okay.
Duke's is 1,000 more seats.
Oh.
All right. One more. Is Wake Forest smaller or larger than Vanderbilt?
Smaller.
Oh, Wake Forest is Lane Stadium without the east side stands. Why don't we know so much about stadiums? What is going on here?
Because you're going there. That's what
I'm
saying.
Going there.
You're going to Vanderbilt.
I mean, Wake's got a seat like
35, 40,000.
Yeah, 40,000, something like that, right? Is it that high?
Wake is way smaller than Vanderbilt.
Is it?
I guess they don't have like
– Wake seat's only 31,000.
31.
Because it doesn't have the end zone. That's what – like it doesn't
have
the
route. It's like the – when we were – back in the day when we were 52,000 – you're just thinking there's 22,000 people on the top side of the east stands. So it's 30,000 like below that.
But wow. They also don't have the end zones, the north or the south end zone. So
that's what puts us up in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. That's
looking at, you know, places we travel to this year. What is like, you know, outside of, I guess, Vanderbilt, like there's no places other than maybe Syracuse that you look at and it's like, wow, that's a really hard place to play. You know, like, so that's a plus.
Oh, Syracuse is so hard. Oh, dude, Syracuse is like the one game on here I honestly look at and be like, we're going to lose that game. Like, I know what it feels like. And I've been in the Carrier Dome. Like, it's just empty. Like, it just feels like if that game is like a 1 o'clock game or something on a, you know, that Saturday, it's like right before Clemson, our players are going to be just like, that's the sound like goes out. Like, I don't know what it is, but there's just no like excitement, you know, like on the field.
It's the week before Clemson. Like, come on now. Like, if we actually get by Miami, Stanford, BC, Georgia Tech, and we have defeat in the ACC the week before Clemson, we're losing to Syracuse. Like, there's no chance.
Yes. Yeah, 1,000%.
Do we go to Wake also?
No, we don't play Wake.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, we play some small stadiums. ODU stadium's tiny too, right? Are we playing? Are we play at ODU this year?
Yeah,
yeah.
You went to that game, didn't you, Scott?
No, you go? I had tickets and really wanted to go, and then not really wanted to go. It's a 2.5 hour drive for me, so it was like there's no way to get to a closer game. And then it was like, do I really want to go stay here and watch a high, in a, like a football game in a high school stadium? And thank God, because we lost too, because that would have been you know.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It's 21,000. So that's just like the high school stadiums where John is.
That reminds me of like one of my away trips I went on was to Western Michigan, and back in the day, and they had those like thunder sticks that you bang together, and they thought they were being loud, and it's like my high school had more people in it than that. Like these guys are not intimidated by this. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And then they did us dirty. They made us, the showers all no. They had no cold water in the showers. They were all too hot, so we all had to stand. Me and the whole football team in the middle of the like.
Oh,
the
too hot.
Splash. Yeah, you could not get in it.
So I've never been in too hot.
It's too hot.
That's too interesting. Hot. Me either. It's always they turn the hot off. That's what they always do. Yeah.
And you know, I could tell who was smart. I don't even remember who this was, but they grabbed a washcloth, got that wet, and then used it because everybody else was like trying to just splash water on like you. and I was like, hey, most of these football players, they can get on the plane. It's fine. I smell like a garbage dump. The worst smelling person on the planet. Like I'm not showering here. So I didn't have skin for a couple of weeks, but it's funny. Fine.
Wow, it's fine. That's awesome.
Too hot.
Yeah, Miami. When I went there, they turned the hot off. I just remember that, and like it was so cold, like just freezing. You know, after the game, but you were hot anyway. It was Miami. You know. I think it's interesting looking at the schedule, like what y'all are talking about, because that is something to think about. If our players, they're going to have to battle through some bad stadiums this year. Like, that's an interesting, like, Vanderbilt's a bad stadium. ODU's bad. Miami, no one's at Miami. You know, Stanford, like, that's not going to be a hype crowd. Syracuse, Duke, like, that's our away games. And all of them, you know, sometimes it helps when you're, like, at a Louisville or at a Florida State because it's like you're in the hype of the – but we're going to have to battle through that. I think that actually could be something to watch out for, you know. So, on the away games.
Bring your own guts.
Like the,
did we win any solid games last year away when no one was there? I can't – like, we lost. I mean, Marshall was sold out. Rutgers was sold out. Louisville was sold out. Like, we didn't play any away games with no one there and had to deal with that at all. So, everyone just see us play. That's all there is to it.
Even the even the bowl game, even though it was pouring, was packed. You know, there was a lot of people there.
All right, before I get it, I'm going to say we're 9-3. That's my. I'm leaving it here right now.
Ooh, I like it.
Three. Who's your pool of losses?
I like your.
Yeah, I'm Syracuse is in no doubt. Like I think we definitely lose that game, and I think we lose Rutgers and Miami, Rutgers Miami, Syracuse, and we beat Clemson.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting.
Shiano's a good coach. That's what
I'm going four losses. So I think it's 8-4, and I think it's one of those first four games. I don't know which one. Probably the Rutgers or Vanderbilt. I think it's either Miami or Stanford. So one of those two, and then it's Syracuse and Clemson. I think we have a little bit of a hangover from the Syracuse loss, and we're going to be bummed. And
we can't lose Clemson. Like we can't do it.
You don't think so? Like that's just going to be so.
We literally can't. We can't do it. It'll be like UVA winning the national championship in basketball. Like you all will not see me for a while.
We can't lose. Oh, that's great. I tried to clarify what you were saying. You're like, no, we can't. I'm like, you mean like, you're like, no, we're not losing that game.
This rolls into my
I'm so hyped like, for that game.
Expectations though. It's like, it's fun when you're like, you know, we could be good and it like, you get excited about the season, but it's also like, really magical when you have no expectations, like last year, like just no expectations, and you could just go to say Nashville for the Vanderbilt game just to see your friends and like happen to go to a football game and not care whether you win or lose. So like, you know, it's the hope that kills you. The hope that kills you, Chris.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, since the time I moved to South Carolina in 2014, we have never beaten Clemson at football. So it's been horrible.
It's time for us to take it back over. Cause like, you know, Clemson, like, so we had it, right? Like we had the quote Southern kind of like in the ACC. And then Clemson took it over from us, you know, and then, and obviously did even better. And now I think it's time for us to bring it back, because I think it's like everyone, ESPN, they've all hyped Clemson up, and it's like, no, like we're here too. So I think this game does mean a lot for us. So okay. I agree.
Better be a night
Scott, game. What do you think? Oh, night game. Yes. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Like nine wins gives us a shot at 10 in the bowl.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whew, I don't know. That makes my tummy mess. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm more on the eight side, but I think I could see a path towards 9-10 plus if you come out and, you know, you get Drones and Tootin and Jennings and everybody's like rolling. If the offense is rolling and Bowen's got another like year of figuring it out because he feels like he figured it out, I don't know. I could start getting excited. If we go 4-0 in those first four, or 5-0, whatever our first schedule is before Syracuse, the hype train is going to be on fire. I mean, it is going to be blazing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree.
Miami would be the first, like, because those first four, Vandy, Marshall, ODU, we won't be ranked at all. Like, if we do win those, right, we'd be 3-0. Rutgers, then we may pop into the top 25. So then we're like top 25 going to Miami, and then that game matters a lot. Like, that would be the game, you know. So, to kind of, is that the separator of like, yep, Virginia Tech, this is gonna be an awesome season, or yeah, they lost that, so now they're still 4-1, and you know, in the running. But
I'd almost rather like sprinkle a loss in here. Like, if you're gonna lose three, like, don't do it all at the end of the season, you know, don't collapse.
Yeah,
sprinkle one in, like, you know, get better.
Yeah.
I'd prefer to win 16. Is that what we decided we need to win 16?
I like that a lot.
With a 12-team playoff, we might be able to win 15 and still win a national championship. Go 15. I would take that too.
Do we make the playoff at 12-1? Like, if you lose a game in here, you win out and make the AC championship and win, do we make the playoff? Like,
I think you I think with the 12-team playoff, you're automatically in as a conference champ. So that's why.
That's your only path.
But if we lose two, not anybody, anybody in the ACC not named Clemson, I guess, maybe Clemson.
Yeah.
If you lose two, you're out. You're out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I mean, whatever. You could have those years where like 9-3 Georgia Tech's playing 8-4 Wake Forest in the ACC championship. One of those teams is going to the playoffs if that's the way it works out. So we could be 8-4 going to the playoffs. And then we would only have to win 12.
I didn't realize – so is it the champion of the like championship, or is the champion of the regular season? I guess it's the championship.
It's gotta be the championship. Yeah, it's all made for TV. That's what we learned this year. We all thought it was like a really wholesome thing, and it turns out it's just a made for TV. It's just a Bachelor in Paradise with football teams.
Yeah. But I will say the best teams got in. Now, I don't think it was the right move. I think Florida State should have been there. But I think the games themselves, like, were good games, and I don't know if Florida State would have been a good game. I don't know how you feel. You just hated it on all of it, or
I feel like, first of all, if you're saying the best teams got in, like, where was Georgia? You know, Georgia lost their last game.
Yeah,
so it wasn't the four best teams, and that was a nonsense argument from the jump when ESPN started making.
Yeah,
it was much more entertaining. At least the. You know, the first four games, the first two games. But I just felt like it was wrong. And it just took it separated us from all of the what we love about college football, which is that the results mattered. They used to.
Yeah.
You know, we used to believe the
season matters. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like, it's a beauty pageant. It's always been a beauty pageant. And I mean, it'd be crazy to see, like, with Alabama having a new coach, it's not going to be so easy to make the Final Four anymore. You know, like, nobody's slurping Kalen DeBoer the way that they did Saban, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting in the SEC who jumps up from that, because I just don't think, I mean, regardless of Bama, like, new coach, like, I just, there's no way someone takes Saban. Saban is one of the best coaches of all time, like, of all time. And I know that people hate to hear that, but, like, you can't undervalue what he's done there. And he has a culture. He has his mind in the football game. Like, it's amazing. And so, him being gone is going to matter. And so I just think it leaves room for like a Texas A&M or a Tennessee or a Florida to come back into the mix and take that spot. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. Maybe or not. Texas, right? Texas, Oklahoma. Like, you never know.
Yeah.
They're in there.
I mean, for sure. But you know, there's going to be four teams from the SEC in it. I mean, that's
no four. You think so?
I don't know how many conference champions get in. It's now the Power Four. those conference champions get in, right?
Right.
And yeah, then that's true. One from the group of five. So there's seven mm-hmm. other slots.
Mm-hmm.
So three more of those are going to SEC teams for sure. Almost for sure.
Big Ten and SEC will get the remainder. Yeah, that's
there's
true.
One, I mean, there's one left over for like the Big 12 to have a second school, or the ACC, or like, you know, UCF or something.
Like, would have Louisville, I guess Louisville wouldn't have gone this year if they would have had it like 12 for us. Like,
Florida State would have gone, but they would have made them like a 7 seed.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, hey, here's the 16 wins. I mean, today we can make it happen. It's great. It.
We're doing it.
And you got to get to Texas, man. Come look at some stars with me. So it'd be fun.
I'm coming. I'm gonna be there. I'm telling Jen as soon as I get back to the office. That's what I'm telling her.
You got it. You got it.
All right, man.
So,
hey.
Go Hokies, man. This has been a blast.
Go Hokies. See y'all.
You know it. Later.